Good morning and a very warm welcome to you all, particularly to anyone who is worshipping with us for the first time. Please do join us for coffee afterwards. We'd also like you to remember our friends at Cars Court and anybody who may be listening to subsequent recordings. After an introit from the choir, we'll be delighted to have Katie leading our service this morning.
Thank you.
Oh, I should also mention the Easter offering. It is time to hand in the Easter offerings today.
Good morning, everyone. I want to begin the service with sharing some very sad news, which I know many of you will have already heard. And that is to say that Beryl Jones died peacefully but unexpectedly during this last week. It's lovely that we have Richard and Matthew and Catherine with us this morning. And on Tuesday, April the 17th, so a week on Tuesday at 3:15, we shall meet here to celebrate and to give thanks for Beryl's life. Beryl has meant a huge lot to so many of us here. I didn't think it took up, but she's just such a special person for us, isn't she? And going to begin by just having a prayer to give thanks for her life. But also today we're asked to remember the family of Joan Heaton, who has died, somebody who worshipped as a part of this congregation some years ago. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for Beryl. We thank you for her love and her deep faithfulness, for all that she shared with us and for all that she means to each one of us here. We ask that you receive her into the arms of your love and care. We commend Beryl to you. And we commend Joan Heaton to you as well, giving you thanks for her life. Lord, we pray for Richard and Catherine and Philip and Matthew and all the family and Joan's family too, that they might know your love and care, your peace and comfort at this time. For all the saints from whom their labours rest, we give God the thanks and glory. Amen. A few years ago, I visited the Holy Land. Some of the places that I visited felt very, very touristy, but other places were just very meaningful. And one of the places, we went early one morning to the place where they mark the grave where Jesus was buried. And I was really sort of captivated by this picture of this lady praying there in the garden, reminding me of Mary Magdalene and the other women going early that morning to the tomb. The next picture reveals the tombstone that they discovered, moved away. the next, the empty door. And inside that door, the empty tomb, knowing that he was not there, he had risen. And so we share in these Easter responses that will be on the screen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has conquered death.
Alleluia.
He has triumphed over the grave.
Alleluia.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We sing, see what a morning, gloriously bright. When I had to miss the Holy Week services and Easter Sunday for the first time since I can remember, I was absolutely gutted until I reminded myself that we have 50 days to celebrate Easter. So we very much continue to celebrate Easter through the next few weeks. So much to celebrate. Let's pray. Living God, who brings light out of darkness, hope out of anguish, birth out of death, we praise you with Eastertide joy. Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of spring, the miracle of life, and the gift of new birth. We praise you for the joy of Easter and Jesus' resurrection. for the victory of good over evil, love over hate, and life over death, that the power of and consequences of sin and death were conquered. We thank you for the lives that were transformed at the first Easter, and praise you that you continue to transform our lives today, turning weakness into strength, fear into confidence, despair into hope, and doubt into true faith in you. We praise you that you make yourself known to us through your word and through the fellowship that we share. We thank you for your love, your presence, your gift of peace that gives us confidence and strength to share your ways. Receive our worship and our heartfelt praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for the times when we have become fearful, when we've lost hope and begun to doubt. Help us to stand strong in your love. Forgive us too when we've turned away and tried to do things in our own strength. Help us to keep following and trusting in you. Forgive us when we failed to share the joy of knowing you with others. Give us the grace to speak naturally of you. Risen Lord, may we feel your presence amongst us and hear your words of assurance and peace. Release us from our fears. Heal us from our wounds. With divine tenderness, remake us. We thank you and praise you for your liberating forgiveness. We thank you for the power of resurrection at work within us this day and always. In the name of the risen Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Going to sing the hymn Jesus is Risen.
Jesus is risen, hallelujah.
The story of Thomas and the disciples in the upper room is recorded in John's Gospel. And the story of the early Christian community transformed by the power of resurrection love from Acts.
Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 20, reading from verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
There's a stunning painting that either hangs or at least used to hang in Bangor Cathedral. It's a painting by John Granville Gregory, which is based on Caravaggio's painting of the disciple Thomas placing his finger in Jesus' wound. In the ancient painting by Caravaggio, the disciples, as in many medieval paintings, all look like they're in their 50s and 60s, when they would have probably been in their teens or their 20s. This stunning painting in Van Gogh shows a group of young men in modern dress, you know, responding in that scene. But whilst it moved me utterly to see it, I kind of think, I don't actually think Thomas even needed to place his fingers in the wound. He's invited to, but perhaps he doesn't even need to do that. A short meditation based on Thomas. For a week I heard the same story from each of them. And the more I heard it, the less I believed it. We'd been through a lot. We were in a mess. The unthinkable had happened, and we were lost, guilty, and grieving. I thought that maybe death hadn't sunk in. I thought they were refusing to come to terms with it, pretending that it hadn't happened. His hands had touched us, his breath had blessed us, but now they were cold and he was gone, and all that was left was memory. Yet in all my doubt, I envied them, until doubt vanished and faith kindled again, when a well-known voice said, "Put your hands here." Expected him to be annoyed with me, to have a go at me for having doubted, for having made conditions, for not having been there when he returned, for having thought it was all finished. I expected him to have a go, but he didn't. He offered me his hand, and more than that, he gave me his peace. You cannot begin to imagine how that felt. So overwhelming, so encouraging, so remarkable, such incredible joy. How could I keep that to myself? We sing, "Christ has risen while earth slumbers."
Thank you.
You can really imagine Thomas tussling with belief. Everything in him must have wanted to believe. And how could he question 10 loyal friends whose testimony all agreed? But he must have been overwhelmed with all the feelings of grief and anger and loss and fear. And on top of that, being the one to miss out. It's never nice being the one who misses out. Carrying a tumult of emotions, he must have questioned what on earth it had been all about. I love the fact that St. John presents humanity so truthfully with all of its emotions. His whole gospel is written, as he says himself, so that we might come to believe. But he shows the reality of faith being a journey, even for those who had been at Jesus' side. He shows the challenging journey of faith for Nicodemus, moving from deep questions in the darkness of night to honouring Jesus in the light. He shows the questions of the woman at the well and the dawning of who was with her, breaking through layers of culture and tradition and religion. He shows Peter again and again missing the mark, but still moving forward in understanding. You know, one of the things that I really loved about Beryl was being able to have really frank conversations about faith. She certainly told me the things that she didn't agree with, and we had discussions about those. But I know in conversation with you, Richard, saying that over the years, the lovely thing is that she tussled with ideas and questions of faith. But she grew through all of those questions, all of the different ideas she explored. You know, questions can sometimes be for us stumbling blocks that set us back, and we have to pray and ask for the help to work through those questions. But sometimes those questions are a really important part of the process, leading us to deeper understanding. They certainly led Beryl to an incredibly deep faith. She loved reading her scriptures, you know, every day, and just had that deep and certain assurance of the resurrection faith that we share. And I really give thanks to God for Beryl and what she taught me in conversation with her. You know, Thomas's level of questioning and doubting and struggle, I think, took him to a new level of understanding that perhaps that the others hadn't even reached at that point. For he is the first one to make this declaration of faith in who Jesus was. After his first-hand encounter, and I can imagine him kneeling at Jesus' feet and saying, "My Lord and my God." One of the only other times that phrase is used is in the Garden of Eden, a place of intimacy when there was that close and deep relationship with God. And there was something of Thomas's phrase there that recognized that deep and intimate relationship that he was still able to live and experience. And it's encounter that's really significant in this story. It's an experience with the risen Christ that lifts his doubt, an experience of peace and an experience of his presence, something that's remarkably available to each one of us. St. John wants all of his readers to know that what they experienced in the Gospels is available and accessible to us too, even if in a slightly different way. He says, "Peace be with you." Not just for words of encouragement, but but words that actually gave them a strength to go out in faith. What I love too in this passage is that Jesus doesn't condemn Thomas for his doubting, but instead brings that gift of peace and sets Thomas free from doubt so that he might fully believe. You know, I've had the joy in sharing in a number of different adult baptisms over the years, and people come to faith in many different ways, some with 1,000 questions, some with only a few. There's no right or wrong way. But we're invited to grow all the way through our Christian lives. You know, it's a joy sharing with Muriel Stoves the other week at 101, who's just, again, so full of passion of her faith and still wanting to share that and still wanting to grow. Another lady from the last church who, again, still in, just reached 100, and again over the phone saying that she's still got lots to learn and still wants to grow. I really admire the fact that Thomas understood something very deep in that moment that changed his life and propelled him and the others with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and live as Easter people. The words, "my Lord and my God," at the time were words that would have been used to address the emperor, a man of great wealth and power, success and importance. Here, they're used to address a man who's been tortured, beaten, humiliated and crucified, who stands before Thomas with the wounds of brutality on his body. It's a powerful moment when Thomas recognizes that a God who is prepared to suffer for us, a God who shares in our woundedness, a God of sacrificial love and forgiveness and grace stands before him. And it is in that wounded vulnerability that lies the real power and Lord of love. Resurrection is our choice and our challenge, a pattern of dying to self in order to grow into a greater love. The choice of dying to our egos, our pride, our need to be right, our self-sufficiency, our rebellion, and our stubborn insistence that we deserve to get our own way. Dying to live to enable others to live. John says his gospel is about believing so that we might have life in all its fullness. And it's vital, isn't it, that we bring that news of resurrection hope into the world today. I love all of the Easter stories. They're all ones I've imagined being part of and prayed with and feel. And there is transformation in every single one of them. Non-instant, but slow movements of change and healing. Movement from sadness to joy at the tomb. From doubting to belief in that upper room. From just not knowing to understanding on that journey to Emmaus. From guilt to forgiveness on the beach. In all of them, a movement from fear and darkness to light and joy, to life and hope dawning. Each story celebrates the resurrection as that which brings life. The story in that early community described in Acts is one of a whole community that's been transformed and changed through the power of resurrection. But what does it mean for us? We know that resurrection is about victory over death, confirmation that evil and hatred cannot defeat God's love and goodness, that they do not have the last say, that love and life are more powerful. resurrection is celebrated as confirmation that death is conquered. But it's about life now. One of the many things that's just been so devastating in the news is that the number of young lives that have been taken through gang violence in London. I think 50 just this year alone, which is just so upsetting. But it's been fascinating to hear the stories of hope, the stories of past gang members who have been transformed. One described on the news the experience of his pastor, you know, coming into prison and praying with him and giving him hope and giving him the vision of a new and transformed life. And it's so impressive, isn't it, to hear the stories of those who've spent time in prison and terrible upbringings and caught up in that gang sort of violence, who are now championing life and being a sign of hope to others, giving focus and opportunity for work. There's such a real need for transformation in lives now. The London chair of districts have all, you know, written sort of asking for, you know, churches to work together with the local community for funding for youth services and police resourcing, that there might be help. But it's individual lives that are changed and empowered that are bringing hope to others. We really need, don't we, to teach our values of faith and love. We know in our lives that we respond to situations, even though they're difficult, by working at grace and forgiveness and love and compassion. There was something in the paper the other day about kindness, as if it was a new thing. You know, we have such a need to teach things that will bring hope and life and healing in all their fullness. Showing kindness and compassion. Helping people to know how to handle hurt and grow through forgiveness. I know that one of the things that Richard will share with us next week is, you know, was Beryl's work, working with people serving life sentences, but also with young offenders. You know, and I was so touched by hearing that again yesterday, by her absolute unconditional love for people, for seeing the potential and the goodness in people. And, you know, how she saw God's image in people. And I am sure that with those young offenders, she will have touched and changed lives because of that non-judgmental acceptance and love and ability to speak to them as human beings. What a challenge for us to, you know, reach out to those whose lives are bleak and give hope and new lives. John Grundy from the student minister from the URC was sharing how Beryl was really a champion of the new Undercroft project and the youth work that they are starting there with the youth worker Matt Williams. It's a tremendous piece of work, and hopefully we'll invite Matt to come and talk about it at some time, about how they're working with young people who are suffering through sort of mental health issues and who feel on the margins and excluded at school, at being able to meet together both at school and in the Undercroft, opportunities to bring hope. how fantastic it was on Palm Sunday to have the hall packed, you know, with families to celebrate the Easter story. And we must keep praying for Emma and all those working, you know, and reaching out to families, that we might be able to share hope and love and share those values of grace and kindness and forgiveness, calling people to be Easter people. We have the most tremendous story, don't we? The most tremendous hope and peace that we can experience in our lives. May we stand as Thomas did and with resurrection hope and confidence proclaim, "My Lord and my God." And may we seek to live in our risen Lord's sacrificial love, forgiveness, peace and grace. May we let risen love conquer fear and doubt, so that we might be signs of light and hope in the midst of darkness. May we be Easter people. Amen. Going to invite Sue now to share a poem with us called Lord of Life and Resurrection.
Lord of Life and Resurrection, in a graveyard damp with dew, you bequeathed God's plan and pattern to a weak and frightened few. And the message of your story still today remains the same. Lives surrendered to God's purpose open up his kingdom's reign. So I set my life before you, all its passion, joy and pain, contradictions, strength and weakness, to receive your touch again. Breathe your spirit through its textures, shape its patterns, mend its wrong, so my dying and my living may release your kingdom's song. Take my feet and lead them outward from the safety I would choose, to those hard and unknown places where you want to bring good news. Take my hands and through their actions fight injustice, bring release. By their making and their mending, show your kingdom's hope and peace. Take my heart and pierce its armor that true loving may be born, and my life become a shelter for those weary, hurt, and worn. Take my mind and quicken insight, sharpen questions, so I can, through a growing understanding, help unfold your kingdom's plan. Thus, in journey and in action, may I make your presence real, all my loving and my thinking, your true holy ways reveal. May the life which here I offer make your kingdom plain to see. Then what started in the graveyard will continue on through me.
Thank you, Sue. Let us pray. Let us pray for a world in need of peace. Peace between warring nations. Peace between conflicting political ideologies. Peace between peoples of faith. Particularly pray for peace in those places of darkness in the world, in Yemen, Syria, between Palestine and Israel, in the Congo. So many places, Lord, and we pray for all those who are working through aid agencies and in diplomacy to try and find a path for peace. Let us pray for a world in need of love. Love for people who have lost their self-respect. Love for friends who have become alienated. Love where families have lost their affection for one another. We pray for those relationships that need your healing. Let us pray for a world in need of hope, hope in the midst of despair when all seems lost, hope for a better future. We pray for all of those working to overcome the gang violence in London. We pray for all of the families who have been devastated through the loss of children in these months. We pray for all of those seeking to work together to bring hope. And we pray for the URC and Life Church project that we're all invited to be a part of, with youth work providing hope in the Undercroft. And we pray for Emma's work with our families and young people as part of our church community. Let us pray for a world in need of joy. Joy where there is cause for celebration. Joy where there is reason to give thanks. Joy as a means of sharing in the wonder of creation. We thank you for the joy of being part of your family. We give you thanks for the joy of being part of a community of Easter people. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have led us into faith. We continue to give thanks for Beryl and all that she taught us. We give thanks for people who have lived their lives in faith and shaped ours and planted in us seeds of love and joy and hope. And we ask your comfort for all who mourn. Accept all our prayers, we pray, as we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our offering will be received as we sing our communion hymn, An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare. gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of your peace breathed into us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Accept these gifts that we bring, that they might be used in the service of your kingdom. Amen. I'm going to share a short prayer as the children come and join us. It's a prayer that just invites us to quietly breathe, to breathe deeply in and out. The rhythm of breath, drawing air in and sighing it out, pulses in all of creation. It's a simple sign of the resurrection, of the life that cannot be quenched even by death itself. We know what it is to breathe, Jesus. Our lives depend on it, even as they depend on you, risen, alive, and present. So breathe into us again, Lord Jesus, we pray. Breathe the life that never dies. Breathe the hope that never despairs. Breathe the courage that never turns back. Breathe the joy that never stops singing. Breathe into us, Lord Jesus, and teach us to sing, to worship with every breath, and to live the inspiration that is your resurrection. Amen. Oh, would you like to come and share what you've been doing? It's lovely to have the children and young people back with us.
Come and share what we've been doing.
Do you need the microphone?
Okay, so this morning we were talking about the transformation that Jesus can have in our lives. And we talked about the fact that when they were in the upper room, in the locked upper room, the disciples were very sad. And when they saw Jesus, what happened?
They were really happy.
They were really happy. And we've given the children some seeds, and they're going to hopefully transform into some beautiful flowers in your garden. So please don't forget them. Marie's bought some lovely seeds to put in those envelopes for you to grow in your garden. So we hope that over the coming weeks, you might take a picture of the beautiful gardens that you're going to transform into. And then the children, does somebody want to explain what we've been doing with our Lego? Would you mind?
Okay, so with these Lego pieces, we made gardens of the tomb that Jesus died in, and mine, as you can see, is all apart. See, there's nobody inside, if you can see. And that one's closed. This one's also closed. We did this to show that Jesus has risen. And, yeah, that's what we did.
And then some of us have changed it into and transformed it into the locked upper room. So it's the transformation of him being in the tomb, and then he's gone into being in the upper room, and he went in even though it was locked, he could manage to get through. So some of them have got the locked upper room, and some of us have got the tomb. So those are the transformations we talked about this morning. Thank you. Well done, everybody.
Well done. They're absolutely lovely. Thank you. We remember now in our part of the service that the last time Jesus met with the disciples, they shared that meal together. It began with Jesus washing their feet, which was a tradition that they had. I know it seems a strange thing to do, doesn't it, to wash people's feet. But Jesus did that to show that, you know, we all must serve and care for one another. There's nobody too important that can't and shouldn't love and care and serve for others. So the meal began with an example of how we live and serve and care. And then Jesus took some bread and shared that with him, sharing and saying, you know, when you remember me, share this bread and remember that I am with you, my life given for you. And they shared the wine too. And I know you've been hearing, we've been hearing about about Jesus appearing to the disciples and the absolute joy that they had when they saw him again. And we experience that joy when we come together, remembering that Jesus is with us always. I'm going to share in words on the screen for our communion service. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us praise the living God.
We praise God with heart, soul, mind, and strength.
We remember that God is the Creator God.
We will not forget that God is the source of life and life.
We remember that God is the Holy God.
We will not forget that God is mystery, wonder, majesty.
We remember that God is love.
We will not forget that God is sacrifice, service, and compassion.
We remember the old, old story
of God's coming to us in Jesus.
We remember that there were parties, parables, and journeys. We remember that those who were blind could see, those who were deaf could hear, those who were lame could walk. We remember that selfishness, pride, greed, and envy were exposed. We remember the cross with all its horror, dereliction, and shame. We remember the power of love to defeat even death.
Christ is
risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit is poured out upon God's people. An upper room, the washing of feet, the many questions.
We will not forget.
The bread is broken and shared. The wine is poured and offered to all.
We will not forget the shed blood.
We shall proclaim the Lord's death. Holy Spirit, come and remind us of Jesus' presence now. We receive your peace and peace. The bread is broken.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The wine is poured. Will you come and receive in need of God's healing presence?
We will not
forget. So gracious God, we ask that you will pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they might be for us the joy of your risen presence at work in our lives. Amen. The communion stewards will come and bring bread and wine to you in your seats.
Thank you.
in love. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for each one of us. Blood of Christ poured out for us with love. Amen. So may we know the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, breathed into our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. May we consent to his action at work within us, his grace, his healing, and his forgiveness, strengthening us through his love each day. May we go with joy and with the confidence of hope, knowing that he is with us always. Amen. Now, one of the joys of Easter is it doesn't just last for one day. How many of the children had Easter eggs last week? Did you have Easter eggs? How many of you got Easter eggs left? Oh, there are. There's one, two left. Oh, well done. You've saved them. Now, as we sing our last hymn, which is a wonderful Easter hymn, the children... I asked Tim to hide 30 little eggs, and I will never find them. So, during the hymn, can you go and see if you can find 30 eggs, put them on this tray, and then I'm sure Emma will help share them out. So we're going to sing Thine Be the Glory, and you're welcome to go and hunt eggs, because it's still Easter. Easter we celebrate for 50 days. I'm not saying there'll be eggs every time for the next few weeks, but go hunt. Thine be the glory. Resurrection and available to us now. Thank you for touching us again with your life through bread and wine, for joining our lives with yours through Jesus, and for renewing resurrection in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Filled with life, we now offer ourselves to be life bringers in the world. Touched by resurrection, we pledge to resist death wherever we find it. Filled with hope, we embrace the promise of your love and the call to make it known at every opportunity. Through us, may all continue to be awakened to the fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. May we go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.